You're about to enter the world of Michael Zavala.
Okay, yes.
Now's your chance to turn back.
Hello.
You're listening to
MZ.
Michael Zavala.
MZ.
This is MZ Now.
MZ.
Do they still have the boards on the windows in the buildings downtown? I haven't been over there.
They did. What day was that? Wednesday, I guess.
When was election day? Tuesday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know they're prepping like that Monday before
the
election.
The best one, though, is the McDonald's downtown. You know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, the one that gets beat up. Every single protest.
That thing was, it was completely surrounded with boards and like people were walking in and out.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is so weird looking, man.
Well, there's two, isn't there? There's one by the IRS building or the federal building and there's one by.
He's talking about the one by the Greyhound. Station.
Yeah.
Station.
By the station.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the one that gets demolished every time anybody gets on.
Yeah.
Somebody's mildly inconvenienced and that's the McDonald's they take it out on. The only reason why I was asking. Because, I mean, a lot of cities around the country were boarding up their downtowns just in case there was riots because of the election results. And I felt bad for Spider because he was here all day boarding up our windows here in the studio so we couldn't see Julie peeing outside in the parking lot.
Right.
I know that there are some people not happy with, this history that was made this week. I know we have somebody in the studio right now who's definitely not happy. Clark. I know you can't be happy that Bond is now a woman and she's also gay.
What is this?
Yeah.
What do you
know about this?
No. What's going on?
You didn't know this? It's officially announced. There's some Eric, do you have it pulled up on your side?
Come on. All right.
I don't
text me.
But I'm very surprised that Clark doesn't know because
I know he's the reigning
the past few episodes.
Yeah, he's been talking about how he's such a big Bond fan and, nobody's a bigger Bond fan than me, yada, yada, yada. I'll take on any Bond fan. I'll wrestle them naked with clothes on. all the stuff he says.
Okay.
But you didn't know that it was officially announced there is a new Bond.
Well, why wouldn't it be on Yahoo?
Well, because Yahoo's had a real...
Lashana Lynch, the British actress, Lashana Lynch, 007 agent in the new James Bond movie, No Time to Die.
Just look at this headline.
Oh, that's okay. No, she's a new double. She's
a new Bond.
Well, no, I think
she's going to go change her name.
They don't know that.
The Jamie Bond.
They don't know that.
No, that's who they announced is taking the place of.
That's a plot. That's a plot element they're giving away. I think what it is she's a 00 agent.
This is the same thing I was talking with Trump supporters this week.
Look,
that
you have
can't
no idea.
Wrap their minds around the fact that nobody wants Trump in office.
You know, okay. It's
inconceivable.
If that's what it's going to be, then that's what it's going to be.
Are you happy with it?
Well, let's just look at the final product.
Call that McDonald's in downtown. Let them know that Clark might be coming down
with
a
handful of
rocks.
It says in this article she's not Bond.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I think I've already researched this. No. Even if that was the thing, they would not give that away. Because you know why?
You mean they're not going to tell you who the new Bond is going to be? You're just going to go to the movie and...
That would be... That would be on par with them giving away, 6 months before episode 7 came out that Han Solo died.
I got you. So you're saying... Because this movie, movie, hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
And... which I forgot about.
Yeah,
so,
I mean...
It got pushed back again.
Yeah.
It got pushed back again.
Is that movie supposed to transition into the new Bond?
No, see, okay.
Or is it just like Doctor Who, where it just...
The rumor,
it's a new season, new Who.
The rumor that I saw was...
Who's it going to be this year?
He dies at the end of it.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, really?
That's one of the deals, and that's why this is kind of... The way the Bond universe works is that it is continuous, but
it
doesn't... Yeah, the Bond cinematic universe. The way it works is that the character is connected, but it's not necessarily... There's a 50-year timeline of the character. And then they reinvented it with Daniel Craig. And so it was like, here, we're going to have like a true anthology in which he has a start and an ending.
So what So it's not like Doctor Who. Well, Doctor Who is a continuation, right? It's just he kind of transforms.
Reincarnation.
Reincarnation. Right. So Bond, how does the, like, from Sean to
there's no official acknowledgement that, because I mean, there's no official acknowledgement that a Roger Moore becomes this James Bond secret agent, that it's just kind of like a role or a ranking. There's 9 00 agents, all right?
And they know each other. They operate,
and there's few Bond movies where 004 gets killed at the very beginning of Octopussy, and he's got to go and figure out
what they replace a 004?
I don't know. That's not a plot element. The plot element is finding out who killed him, and who killed 004 is a much bigger conspiracy and plot that's going to destroy humanity.
But
that's how it works.
What I'm asking is, like, Pierce and Sean were two different Bonds that don't exist in the same universe.
Same character.
Same guy, right?
It's the same guy.
It's a different actor. It's like when Fresh Prince of Bel-Air replaced
when it stopped being a real continuous character, and then it just turned into like episodes of a TV series,
right? Younger guy.
Yeah, is basically when Roger Moore kills Blofeld at the beginning of Queer Eyes Only, because that character actually kills Bond's wife in one movie.
Oh,
so okay. Right there, it ends that, and then it just starts these kind of serials where it's like, oh, watch him take on Christopher Walken in this movie, and watch him take on Robert Davi in this movie, and then there's Pierce Brosnan.
Okay.
And then they were just like, hey, you know what? We're tired of doing this. How about we do it where he becomes a 00 agent, and then he chases after Blofeld, and then he dies. That's what it's going to be. And then they can assess the whole idea, like, hey, do we want to replace the 007 agent and make that a woman who's a completely different character? Which they were going to do with Halle Berry after Die Another Day.
Mm.
They were going to make her like a female secret agent, a CIA agent.
But is she gay?
Oh, well, does that even matter?
Yeah, because
if that's the element of the movie, well, hell, that's fine.
That's all I care about, as long as they throw
like a little Cinemax.
All right, I'm
wow
back.
That was impressive, man.
Well Clark, according to your people, the insecure white men, they've been attacking this woman since last year when they announced that she will be taking over the 007 spy code.
Okay,
so
I haven't known that, and I don't think that it's, look, wait for it to happen for me to have it. I'm sorry, I'm watching.
Destroyed that microphone stand.
Oh my god, I just want to shoot this video.
Yeah, completely killed the mics.
So I'm over here trying to adjust my boom so I can get more a comfortable angle. And the whole thing falls apart and lands on the board. I don't know if this affected the recording at all, but it lands on the board and mutes everything. So everything's dead. So you might have been talking. We couldn't hear you for a second.
Never mind. So, what were we talking about?
I wasn't talking.
So now...
insecure white,
like, I can fix this, but I can't fix it and do the show at the same time. So I'm just going to hold it in my hand.
Yes.
Until we go to break in 6 minutes.
In 6 minutes?
Yeah.
So... For six minutes, I got to talk about insecure white men.
No, I can. Yeah, I mean, we could do that. I could do this whole rant that I had on. look at this thing. I wish people. What a day to not be recording, right?
Yeah.
We thought nothing interesting is going to happen. It's only 3 of us in studio. The reason why Eric's at the house is because Eric's throat's a little scratchy, and so he texted me this morning. First off, he asked, "Are we going in studio today?" Even though it's been like since September. We've been taking every other week off.
And that's been the known plan.
Right. 2 o'clock.
Well, I can't keep up.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a routine. It's the same thing every other week. So he texted
me. Why is it that like none of us can be responsible at the same time?
Yeah, I know.
Like I showed up early today.
Right. Randomly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Spider got here,
you know, 10 minutes beforehand, which is fine.
Right. Yeah.
And then Jaime calls.
Jaime was about to come.
Yeah, and so we answer the phone. Jaime is down the street.
He was just calling on time to tell us that he wasn't going to come by.
He asked if
he wanted us to come by.
Right,
wanted him to come by.
Do you want me to come by? I said, sure, yeah, absolutely. In fact, today, we want you to do an Alex Trebek tribute. Ooh, say that three times fast.
Alex Trebek tribute.
See? So, yes, Spider's got COVID. We got him on the other side of the room, though, so it's okay.
See?
Jaime's like, do you want me to show up? I said, yeah, absolutely. Come on by. And he goes, well, I can't. I'm playing with this camera. I'm trying to take these pictures. I don't know what I'm doing. I might still be able to come by. I said, well, you got 15 minutes. Come on by whenever you're done. All right. Probably not going to be able to come on by, though. So why'd you call me?
Right.
But Eric also got your antibodies test,
mm-hmm.
which basically, and I'll play Dr. Fauci here for people who don't know. So when your system is attacked by a virus, your body creates antibodies to fight the virus.
Is he reading off of something?
No, this is from memory. Yeah, I practiced this last night in the mirror. And
were you holding a mic?
What's that?
Were you holding a mic?
I was holding it like just
you're
like this.
Like the balls.
That's exactly what it looks like.
It does. You know,
you can take a picture of it. Like, it's so ridiculous. This has never happened before. We've had mic stands break in the past during shows. But not to this extent where we couldn't just instantly fix it. And I mean, it's not like it's broken. It just needs to be readjusted. Right. But
I'm going to get like a down angle of it.
So. Yeah. It's my better angle. What was I talking about? Oh, the antibodies.
Dr. Fauci's antibody.
So
his take on antibody test.
The antibodies, right? They go and they fight the coronavirus. So they do this test to see if you have the antibodies that fight the coronavirus. And if you do have those, then it's logical to assume that you had the coronavirus at one point, and those antibodies stay in your system for 2-4 months or whatever, so you're kind of resistant to the coronavirus for a couple of months at least. They don't know how long, and for different people it's different lengths of time. But so Eric got an antibodies test, and did you get the results?
No, I just got it yesterday.
Oh, I was all setting this whole thing up thinking you had the results.
No. So I get a free annual comprehensive test where they check like my heart, you know, cholesterol, glucose levels.
I want to hear those kidneys, results.
Liver, all that. So this year they're including the COVID-19 antibody test in there. So I was all like, well, if I have anything, then it'll let me know.
All right. Well, it'll let you know if you had it. It may still be in your system, but you never really know. You have to take a coronavirus test to see if you actually had the coronavirus.
Well, no, it's the same thing.
No, the antibody test is totally different. Am I not right?
Well, no, if I have antibodies,
where's Mark?
Then I have it.
No, it doesn't mean you currently have it. You had it.
No. It doesn't mean I either had it or I do have it.
Right.
Well, have you been around anybody this week that makes you think that you might have it?
No.
So it's funny. I talked about this in the meeting. When was it? Was it Wednesday, Eric, that we were hanging out with Mark? Or we weren't?
I think
in person. We were in a virtual setting. But I was talking to Mark and I said, hey man, are you going to be in town this weekend? And he goes, yeah, because he's been going out of town recently to do different film projects. And I said, well, if you're in town, we have this bit that we've been working on for a while. We want you to do it. And you should come in studio. He goes, okay, cool. Yeah, I think I can actually do that. I said, he was a little bit late to the little virtual meeting that we had. And I said, well, by the way, what were you running late for? I mean, why were you late to the meeting? He goes, I was getting a COVID test. And I said, oh, okay. Just to be safe, you know what? He goes, no, my roommate, Jar Jar, her mom has COVID. I'm like, oh man, that's terrible. She's doing okay? Yeah, she's doing fine. I said, when's the last time you saw her mom? Oh, I live with them. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Is she in her room or like she's staying at another place or how's that working out? No, she's fine. I mean, she's just not leaving the house. So you're still living in the house with a woman that has coronavirus. While we were on this meeting, the mom comes into the room to let him know, probably no mask on, by the way, to let him know, oh, so-and-so also has the coronavirus. And Mark's like, oh, okay, cool, thank you. And then goes back to talking to us. I said, Mark, don't show up at the studio for at least another month. We can't have you here. He goes, yeah, you're probably right. But if we hadn't have done that like sleuthing and asking these questions, this guy would have been here today. Sitting right there in the same room with you. Like, this is crazy. Why would you do that? Like, why wouldn't you just say, all right, let me go to a hotel for a week or let me go stay with another friend for a week, get my COVID test. He goes, well, I'll know today or, you know, tomorrow if I have coronavirus or not. I said, you may not have it when you got tested,
right?
But you definitely have it when she walked in your room to tell you that another person got coronavirus.
Right.
All right.
And he is supposed to be Dr. Fauci.
Huh?
I said, here he is supposed to be Dr. Fauci this whole time, telling everyone what they're doing wrong and that they gotta wear this, you know, take this thing seriously.
Yeah, he's one of the people that claims he's very cautious and does everything by the book.
Yeah. I'm very careful about it.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, literally face to face with the lady who has it. Anyway. Yeah.
Face to face to COVID-19.
But the good thing is, I was just trying to be responsible. Yeah, no, that's good. I didn't know if you were like just around somebody or if you're just being extra cautious or whatever.
No, I was being extra cautious. I mean,
you said you woke up with a scratchy throat, but I mean, did you and Kirby have a good night? Like, well, it could have been a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, I am now because we're packing all of our stuff, and I had to move the bed to a different spot, and so the spot is right underneath one of the air vents.
Oh,
so I didn't know if maybe like just my nasal cavity had been dried out from just the air blowing in my face, but so I didn't want to do that to you because I know how you feel about people that are exposed or have symptoms and don't and still go in either to work like Clark or into
you know. Oh yeah, you know because. I mean, I gotta make money, so.
Yeah, no comment.
All right, take a break. We'll be right back.
MZ Now.
Hey, Dad, everybody, this is Pinky of TV's Pinky and the Brain, and you and I and the Brain are listening to Michael Zavala.
Narf. 1-888.
Damn, why?
MZ Live 5. MZ Live 5. 1-888.
Damn, why?
MZ Live 5.
No cuff zone. No cuff zone. They know better. They know better. No cuff zone. No cuff zone. They know better. They know better.
MZ Now.
Hey, this is Stephen Ogg, and you are listening to Michael Zavala.
Online at mznow.tv.
Hey, Coleman, how are you?
Good, how are you today?
Good, good. So, what have you been doing to pass the time during this quarantine?
Oh, my God. Okay, well, there's been levels to it. You know, the first level, I think, is just like anyone else, baking sourdough bread, baking pies, you know, not working out, laying on the couch, in the garden.
Watching Tiger King or whatever.
You know, watching Tiger King. So I did that. That was phase one. And then I moved to phase two, which was getting organized and trying to work out and then, you know, and writing. And then I was actually doing some producing of some, you know, at home shows for AMC. And then I got back on the couch. And then I. And so it's been a roller coaster. But now I'm on the other side of it where I feel like I now have a. It feels like. I'm engaged with this sort of normal world of like, okay, we just wear masks, we do the best, we stay healthy, we stay strong, but we get out there and we start to actually normalize our lives.
Right, you have to.
Absolutely. So now I feel like a human being again. I feel like I'm seeing people. You know, of course, socially distanced and taking care. But I feel like you know you gotta work it out and figure it out now. So I'm feeling like I'm on the upswing. I'm losing those. COVID-19 months of weight, and I'm getting strong and fit again. I'm actually wearing hard clothes again. I'm getting out of sweatpants. I feel like it's time to get back into structured clothes again.
Hey, you're doing better than me. I'm telling you that. So,
yeah, man.
Were you a fan of The Walking Dead before you got Fear?
Absolutely not. I had no idea.
Which is even better, I think.
Oh, dude, I had no idea. My agent were like, oh, my God, they're doing this, you know, a sequel to, what's a prequel to The Walking Dead? I was like, I don't know what that is. She was like, wait, it's the biggest show on television. I'm like, I don't watch TV. You know, she kept going and going. I was like, I don't know what it is. Show me what the material is. And then I read the material and I was like, this doesn't sound like zombie show. It sounds really interesting and with great complex characters and stuff and storytelling. So then I got aboard with that way. I thought it was just really compelling storytelling. I mean, even the way I see it still, I still see it as a family drama with some zombies that get in the way.
Right. And that's what drew me to the Walking Dead universe was it's not about zombies. They're just an element in the background, you know?
It's about the people. Right. I think that's the thing that we've been examining, making it a parallel to the pandemic. It's not about the virus. It's actually the people that get in the way. It's like, right. We can't agree on anything. You're like, right. So it's actually human beings. That threat is out there, and the threat is actually pretty simple. It tells you what it is, and then you just have to adjust.
Right.
But it's humankind that's tricky. So I think that's the examination that we've already been experiencing in the Walking Dead universe. And I think that parallels exactly what we've been dealing with in the pandemic.
Yeah. Wow. That's really great. I never even thought of that.
That's exactly. I mean, because think about it. Even in our season one, it was all about who do we trust? Do
right.
we trust the government? Do we trust this? What are we hearing? What are we? And then what happens with people want to hear what they want to hear instead of actually just taking science and being pragmatic about it. And I feel like my character, Victor Strand, is very pragmatic. That's why I've enjoyed playing him for six seasons, because he's just like, he's pretty cut and dry about it. He's like, okay, this is the situation. This is what you're supposed to do. Leave emotion out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, just and you guys,
right thing.
You guys filmed this show kind of down the street. We're in Dallas. So you guys filmed the show in Austin for a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you guys still film it there?
We still do.
When you're in Austin, what's your favorite place to eat?
There's a new place called Carpenter's Hall that I've just eaten at three times. And I love it. I also love, what is it called? It's not called Laundromat. It's called something like that. I forget. But I'll just give you my favorite rib place, which is Terry Black's.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, you have to go to Terry Black's. Yeah.
Oh, you have to. It's fantastic. I usually go there early because I don't want to fight with people over my ribs. I want to make sure my ribs are there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because I will get in front of the line to get those ribs. I will cut. If you see me, I will cut in line to get those ribs.
You might have cut me, actually.
I might have
cut you. Last time I was there, you might have.
It's my signature move.
Right.
It's like, oh, I have a question about that. And then next thing I'm in front of you getting ribs.
Right. In a show like Fear the Walking Dead, is it a miracle that your character has survived, you know, six seasons, and then every script after that, does that make you a little bit more nervous? Because, like, this might be the one.
Dude, I don't know how it happened. Right. I joined the show, you know, on episode 5 of season 1. And it is always a tricky dance. You always believe that your character will die at the next episode.
Right.
I don't know. It's always very precarious for everyone. And so myself and Alicia Debenham Carey, we're pretty the longest standing characters on there. And so I just think it is truly a miracle. And I don't know what it is. I think I know that Victor Strand is such a compelling character, and he keeps changing and evolving. And I think that's interesting for television.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I think that he's not beholden to his convictions one way or the other. He's like, I will keep adjusting and shift shaping. And I think that's the way he survives. So I think that's interesting storytelling. And I think now when I look back after six seasons, that's why I'm still surviving. I'm glad I am. And so I feel like I have a little bit more security. I feel like, oh, okay, I think that I'm going to be here for a little while longer, but you never know.
Exactly. And in the world of The Walking Dead, you really never know. Now, you've directed this season, too. Does that make you a little nervous? Like, I'm a guy that I would be freaking out because I can't make a decision to save my life. And now here you are calling the shots for an episode. Is that a lot of pressure, or do you enjoy that?
I enjoy the power. No, I'm totally. I enjoy yielding that power. No, I really do. I've always been a director in the theater, and it just made sense with this transition and to television.
Yeah.
I'm very curious. And I love, like, I think, to be honest, leading the charge and being the shot caller just requires a lot of generosity. I love working with people who are smarter than me, and I feel like you rely on them. You put smart people around you.
Yeah.
And people who can do what you can't do, people who can interrogate the way you can't interrogate. I think being a director is just being a great leader and inspiring everyone to be their best. And I know that that's a skill that I know that I have, that I even as an actor in the company, because I'm always just trying to make sure we're having a great time and inspiring everyone to do their best work. That's all it is. So if you think it's that, it takes all the pressure off. You're like, I don't have to know everything, but I know what I know.
Right.
And I want to inspire everyone to help out.
Yeah. That's so great. Yeah. I still wouldn't be able to do it, but I'm so glad that you can do it.
I didn't convince you. Okay. I thought I was going to come to you. Okay.
I'm out. I'm going to have to pass up on the director opportunity.
Ah, man, I didn't get you. Okay.
If a zombie apocalypse happened tomorrow, knowing all that you know and all the skills that you've come to know from your show, what do you think your chances of survival would be in a real world zombie apocalypse? We know that's coming next year. What else is next? You know.
Well, I mean, well, that seems like we're going to double down on it, even before the end of this year.
Exactly.
Release the Kraken, and now right. the zombies. Okay. So anyway, I think actually. I really honestly felt like I understood who I am in the beginning of this pandemic. I felt like I'm a bit more, a bit like my character. I know that I was already getting prepared. I know how to prepare pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And I thought like, oh, this thing's happening and coming. Go. And I just stocked fridge, did everything, gas, cash, all that stuff. And I sort of hunkered down. Right. I think I would be a survivor for as long as I can, because I'm the kind of person that likes to have a good time. So as long as I'm having a good time, I'll survive. When I feel like, you know, what's the f-ing point?
Right.
My language. What's the point? We're not having fun anymore. I'm tapping out.
Right. Yeah. I'll tell you this. I would be dead day one. No doubt.
Oh,
I just,
God, really?
You know, and not by choice. It would just, that's. You know, I wouldn't be able to run away fast enough or whatever. You know, I would be dead day one.
What do you mean you wouldn't be able to run away fast enough?
I don't know. It would scare me. You know, those slow walking zombies, it would scare me. I wouldn't notice that they were coming after me. And then I would just, trip or something. I would be that person. So I would definitely try to seek you out. Hopefully you're in Austin.
Don't seek me out, because basically if I said I'm anything like my character in this last episode past Sunday just actually shanked somebody in the leg and shoved him to the walkers because he was scared.
Right.
So anybody who's scared and feel like they're not going to make it, you got to go.
Well, he's a survivor, you know, and I understand that. And yeah. I think I would be willing to.
I would probably throw you to a herd of walkers.
Well, you know, hey, as long as I died so that you could live, that's I'm fine with that.
That's the whole point.
Now, you're also... in a new Netflix movie coming out in December called Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. And that's also Chadwick Boseman's last film. How was it like working with him?
Oh, man. Chadwick has been my dear brother for many years. I've known him for years. We are both Sagittarians, born one day apart.
Oh, wow.
And so I feel like we have a bond. And I think that there's something very similar with us in the way we like to work. And we love to, our work ethic. He's a kind guy, funny. Interesting. We worked hard because, you know, I think the film required it. August Wilson's words require it. So I think we created something beautiful, and I know for sure that it was his, he was very proud of this film to be his final film. I'm very glad and happy to put it out there in his name. And I think it's going to be a great legacy piece.
Awesome. Well, Coleman, thank you so much for your time. Catch Fear the Walking Dead every Sunday on AMC. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. I appreciate you, brother.
You know what show I'm late on, but I'm really loving it? The Mandalorian.
Oh.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. Loving it.
Where are you at?
I was actually...
I'm current.
Oh.
In a week, I became current. From a noob to an expert. Go ahead, Eric. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I wasn't actually going to talk to you about that because... I'm a current too, and the first season I did like. The second season I'm kind of zoning out. It's not as interesting anymore. And the only reason why I wanted to ask you, but like for me, I guess I'm comparing it just to Star Trek, of course. But the one thing that I think that Star Trek has a completely like awesome job is the way that they create these worlds for different species. Because in Star Wars, and I've just realized this, but every world they go to, it all looks the same. It's a desert.
It's all the desert. And it's the aliens didn't take any time to create. They walk outside and they're like, oh, there's a frog. We'll make a frog alien. Oh, look, a lizard. We're going to make a lizard. There's a bird. Yeah, I get that. But what I will say this is what I like about The Mandalorian. First off, if The Mandalorian came out before the Star Wars movies, I would be a huge Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
Because any of them?
Or the new trilogy. You mean any of them?
Any of them. I don't like any of really of the movies. The only movies I like are Rogue One, because that was totally different. It was a standalone, unique movie.
I loved Solo.
I didn't really like Solo just because, I don't know. I think it was because it wasn't Harrison Ford playing Han Solo. I think that maybe that's what it was. But anyway. But I like The Mandalorian because to me, it's more, at least the first season, it's more Star Trek than Star Trek. I like that it's because Star Trek was supposed to be a Western, a space Western, where they go on to different planets and they, you know, try to do the right thing. And what that's what the Mandalorian is doing. Every episode, he goes to some weird area and there's a weird situation. He's got to figure out what the right thing to do is, all while having this child with him. Which the baby Yoda is adorable. I gotta be honest.
Yeah. It's the cutest thing.
Makes me want to have a child. Not a real a human child. Just a baby Yoda.
Oh, well.
I would carry it around all, especially if it had a little stroller that came, just followed me. Yeah. I didn't have to push it or anything. How great would that be?
It, you know what? Actually, it'd be more of a parent to you than it would be than you would be to it.
Oh yeah. But can you imagine if going back 2 years when I was in that tragic scooter accident?
Oh my God.
If my baby Yoda son saw me.
I love how we brought the Mandalorian back to two things. Number one, Star Trek, and number two, your leg.
Yeah. Baby Yoda, because he would have been following me in that little stroller.
Right. Now we're combining the two.
He would have saw that I was going to be in danger, and he would have put his little hand out, and it would stop me from breaking my leg.
And it would stop us from having to hear this damn story.
Right. Just wait till Christmas. I got a whole thing planned.
Yeah. You would think that, but there's some situations in The Mandalorian this season. I'm all like, oh, Yoda, Baby Yoda's going to do something to intervene, and he does it.
Okay,
and I'm like, well, what's the whole purpose of him being there?
It's only been two episodes this
now,
new season.
It doesn't matter.
And the first episode is monumental because you find Boba Fett's armor.
Now, I don't know anything about Boba Fett. I know the name, but I don't really know anything about
him. And you want to talk about attention to detail? So his armor... It gets banged up because he gets swallowed by the Sarlacc, the pit. You remember that at the
was it return? the big giant worm comes out of?
Yeah,
I don't that remember
that thing swallows it.
I just remember the big giant worm.
Well, Boba Fett has Mandalorian armor, but he's not really a Mandalorian. But he's trying to find his armor too.
Yeah,
he's trying to find Mandalorians through finding this armor. And that armor got damaged, and they actually showed how it was repaired. If you look at it close enough, how whoever got the armor again, which was Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah.
Somehow,
which I love. I love him.
He repaired it, and like it was all, you know, like you could see where it was welded back together.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's some level of detail, right?
Yeah.
There.
I don't know that I'll ever be that big of a nerd into Star Wars. I think I just enjoy it for what it is, like a space Western.
Well, I mean, this show is a space Western.
Now, episode one of season two, not giving anything away, but I think Tremors Shrieker Island did a better job at presenting the Graboids to the world.
Or
it's basically the same exact story.
Okay, well,
if you watch Shrieker Island on Netflix and go watch episode one of Mandalorian season two on Disney Plus, same story.
Well, then let's just be real about it. That whole sandworm thing, didn't we see that in Beetlejuice first?
No, I think Tremors came out first, right?
No, Beetlejuice came out in 87. Tremors was like 89, 90.
Is that true?
Yeah, Clark, I agree with you. I was like Beetlejuice much.
Yeah, see, that's exact. Okay, but I mean, but here's the other thing. If Tremors, you really want to get back to it. So the worm.
Oh, you're right. It was 1990.
So the worm that you see.
Which I think is a great creature. I think that's so cool to have like a whale type or a shark
that worm,
in the sand.
You know that worm is actually in the episode 4?
No.
There's the skeleton. There's a skeleton of it in the desert. When C-3PO.
You're talking about the movie.
Yeah,
I got you.
Yeah, a new hope.
Oh,
what are you laughing at?
He's laughing at the way I'm responding to you.
Because he's so definitive. With Michael, I don't.
And then he's like, oh, yeah.
Because I don't. I
you know
Michael,
nothing.
Because I don't remember either.
He totally chumped out on me. Like, yeah. I fact checked him.
Yeah. It's not Star Wars. If you watch The Mandalorian, you don't like Star Wars. I don't like Star Wars.
It's something set in the Star Wars universe, which I'm hoping at some point they have a stupid multi-camera sitcom that's just based in the Star Wars universe.
That would be hilarious. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's basically like Full House, but it's in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
And all I would watch it. Only...
All they have to do is like five episodes. Just do five episodes.
Yeah. I would watch it only if it was all androids.
That would actually be kind of funny, but basically
nothing but
like,
droids.
But kind of like, kind of like it's just basically Jetsons, but set in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah,
they would totally do that.
And the desert.
Well, I think this needs to, and they're working on it now. But multiple Star Wars shows need to come out of this because I'm interested.
Well,
I don't care about Luke Skywalker. I don't care about the incest.
Well, the thing is,
I don't care about the Death Star.
The thing is you're not going to see any of that anymore because
right.
they realize
it's done.
Yeah.
But might, everything else, I like all the ancillary.
So there's a
characters.
There's a Obi-Wan show that's supposed to come out, and there's also a Boba Fett show that's supposed to come out, dealing with those two characters.
See, I don't want that. I just want somebody that I don't know who it is.
Okay. Well, that
you don't know who those people
revert,
are anyway.
Let's revert back to my sitcom idea.
The sitcom is great. I'm all for it.
it's like
I'm projecting. This Star Wars sitcom drone, nothing but drones, is going to be a huge success. It's going to win by a lot.
And the droid, one of the main droid voice has to be Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
The droid version.
No. Because Seinfeld
wants to deal with all these sprockets.
No. Seinfeld's too situational. You need to have it where it's kind of like a
it's
home
show about nothing.
Like, it's like Home Improvement or Golden Girls, some sort of
Golden Girls
Family Matters. I don't know.
But they have like this.
It's basically a show that you would see on TGIF that's set in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, and it's got to have the same type of music. All the sitcom music back in the 90s.
Yes.
He's got to come back.
Like the introduction has them like coming through.
That's not like the transition scenes. They did that. They brought that guy back for Mr. Robot.
Oh, you know it would be awesome too? If they had like the super serious episode. Where
they deal with like drugs or teen pregnancy.
I found some spice in your in your drawer.
We don't use the force for that. I know the force is very powerful and you want to experiment with it, but this is for adults. We don't use the force in that way.
What would instead of the birds and the bees talk, it's the Ewoks and the R2s talk or something like that.
I think it's time to have that sad music. We need to find that music. We got to find that old sitcom music. We do so much with it.
Oh, we could probably use your new toy for this.
Yeah, and a voice changer.
But then I have to be the musician.
Oh, well, yeah.
Can you turn this thing on? It's been a couple of weeks since I turned it on.
There's a switch or a button.
There it is. This.
Oh, Jesus.
Is Julie back?
That robot didn't sound angry enough. This is going great.
Yeah.
I love when we have something planned.
By the way, none of this was planned.
Yeah.
So if this goes bad, we're going to blame it on Julie.
Good.
She's out there defecating in the parking lot.
Oh, God. She had to step up her game this week.
You should have just called.
She's finding the missing Trump ballots right now. She and Detective Gomez are scoping around, traveling the world, finding the missing.
You already know how that's going to end.
You should have just called her and put her on hold.
Where in the, yeah, then she can talk to us. Tell us everything you want. Where in the world is the hold on. Where in the world is
the missing Trump ballots?
Oh, wow.
I don't think this is good. I don't remember what we have test. No, this. I don't think this is going to work.
Oh,
if there's no like music. Da, 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 da. Then, you know, I don't know any of the characters, so I can't think of anybody's name. You have like a Bob Saget type character coming into the bedroom in this little sand dome that they have.
Well, they're like Adult Swim did something with like too many cooks. You could call it too many droids.
Yeah. Oh, I said nothing but droids.
Nothing but droids.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Honey. What's wrong?
What?
Oh, that's the whole thing.
The kids made fun of him at school.
Like, you can't understand the droids anyway, so maybe that's all it is. You know what I mean?
Or maybe there's just one human character that lives with a bunch of droids.
Oh, that's sad, honey.
This droid sounds like it's trying to seduce me, though.
Yeah.
Get me drunk.
We don't use the force that way.
Oh, this is the shady pimp character that one one kid met walking home from, or one droid met walking home from school.
That's me. Anyway, we got to go ahead, Eric. Sorry.
Boy meets droid.
Oh,
that's a good one.
And you know what? That's a ABC. Property, so Disney would be down with that.
I think. Oh,
or Boy Meets Force.
I think R343 has a crush on me.
If there was just some way you could kill.
I don't know.
Now that was actually really good.
That's why I'm stopping it. I'm going to stop. I'm like Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah. I'm going to stop where we're ahead before we ruin it. But I think that's a great idea. By the way, this wasn't on our schedule to things to discuss today. We have some very important things to get to.
And we're not. You're not going to get to them.
Well, we at least got to mention Alex Trebek passing away.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we mentioned it. Now we move on. No, it's sad. It really is sad because like 24 hours before that news happened, there was this whole article, and I didn't read it. But from what I gather from the headlines, from what I assume, it was like this guy that's not native to this country. So English wasn't his first language. But he grew up watching Jeopardy, and he wins Jeopardy, I think. And he's crying because he learned English from watching Alex Trebek. And so it's like a very touching thing, yada, yada, yada. And then 24 hours later, you get the news that Alex has passed away at 80 years old. And I thought he was doing better. And I had so many questions, like, when was the last time he was on the Jeopardy set? I thought he was just working, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen Jeopardy.
I'll be honest with you, I've never seen a full episode of Jeopardy. It's just not my game show. If I'm going to watch a game show, if I'm homesick, Price is Right.
Yeah.
I don't even really like Wheel of Fortune. It was on all the time as a kid, but I just don't like it.
Wheel of Fortune used to be great back in the day.
Family Feud is great. It's always great.
Yeah.
Especially because you got Steve Harvey now as the host. Best. But man, a lot of people have been, just this week or the past couple of weeks, I feel like, have been diagnosed with some sort of cancer.
Well, what was his, pancreatic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, there's, at his age, there's not a long timetable with that.
But he was still working. I mean, golly.
Yeah, man.
I get a splinter and I'm going to call in.
Well, wasn't Regis still working?
But Regis didn't. No, Regis had retired.
He still would do things here and there, but
I hadn't seen him in years on television. Like, he retired and just disappeared. Okay.
He was on. No, he was on some Fox Sports show or something.
Was he really?
Yeah, that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was.
And they catch the ball. Like, what was he doing there? Get on it.
Talking about Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Al Roker was diagnosed with some sort of cancer. I didn't read the whole article.
Yeah, but he's still going.
Yeah, but I mean, it just happened like this week or last week.
Oh.
So he's going to get, I think it's prostate or something. He's getting it get it removed.
Okay.
So hopefully he's good after that because they caught it early.
Well, I mean,
that's the secret. You got to catch it early.
Okay, but I mean,
with Alex's case, he caught it like it was already stage 3 or 4.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to, okay, you know, we lost Connery last week and.
Yeah.
And
so,
and,
yeah.
And you're going to hit the point that I'm going to make. And I guess you're making it for me. But I mean, when people use the word tragic to describe somebody that had a great career.
Yeah.
Was well respected in his field. Sure, it's sad that you lose somebody, but it's not tragic. He wasn't 45.
And I think even Alex said,
and left two young children.
Yeah. And I think Alex said, you know, he was okay with it. You know,
I mean,
not really okay with it. Who's okay with it? Well, but you know what I mean? He was like, if this is the end, this is the end.
You're going to find out eventually.
But I think it was because he's such a nice guy. He was still working. It wasn't like he had retired for 20 years. Like Wilford Brimfrey or whatever his name was. I hadn't seen him in 30 years.
Yeah. And
then he all of a sudden.
Well,
he
was 80 years old 30 years ago. Right.
And then you tell me he's died. I'm like, he was still alive? You know? So with Alex, we saw him on TV every single day. He was still working. He was giving us updates. He just wrote a book during quarantine. You know, this guy was still super active and healthy. You know, sans the cancer, and then the cancer just took him out like that, really fast. It wasn't like a slow decline. Are we, you know, like who was the original Bob Barker? Bob Barker's been retired for many years. We've hardly seen Bob Barker.
Yeah.
If he dies of some sort of cancer, people are gonna be like, well, he lived. I mean, he's already like 90 something years old.
Yeah,
now.
It's the same attitude with Sean Connery.
Right, but with Alex, you know, this guy was still working. He was still out there. We see him every day, and now he's gone.
Right.
I think that's the difference.
It's the shock value.
Yeah. I mean, it's still
either
sad.
Way,
and he seems like
way,
such a nice
either
guy.
Either way, it's not. I still don't look at it as being a true tragedy.
Right. I get what you're saying.
But I, you know, it's still sad.
Yeah.
And you know,
again, I've never watched Jeopardy.
So it looks like last month was the final tapings, and they're playing the last show on Christmas Day.
So he literally was working just a few days ago, and then has died in two.
Do you think
that's
they
crazy.
Ever were like, hey, Alec, you want to gonna take a couple months off.
No, they were literally trying to find his replacement just in case. Like, all that stuff was they were having normal conversations about that. You know, what happens if I die? You're going to have to replace me.
So now there's like that whole Jeopardy sketch of Jeopardy on Saturday Night Live. Like, pretty much there's a show that would have the characters, and most of the celebrities are now deceased.
Yeah, Sean Connery, Alex.
Gosh.
Louis C.K.? Oh, wait, he's still alive. His career is in shambles.
Who did Norm Macdonald do? Burt Reynolds.
Oh, he was Burt Reynolds. That's right.
Terry Ferguson.
I love Norm.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of Louis C.K., I did finish watching that documentary on Showtime because I got a Showtime subscription.
Oh, the Comedy Store?
Yeah, it was a free trial, I should say.
I thought it was a Louis C.K. documentary.
No.
Like,
that's on...
IP implants?
That's on Skinamax. But...
mind if I jerk off?
Yeah. Hey, do you mind...
Hey, I know...
Hey, can I show you something? The show's called Does This Look Infected?
Oh, God. What's that mark?
Right. It's called Is This Cool? Is this cool? I was watching that show, and it's very difficult for me to watch that show because there's a part of me that wonders why I don't do stand-up comedy because I'm awful at it, and this is more my speed. But there is that camaraderie that you see a lot of these comics have, and it's like a longing that I want to have. But then you realize a lot of these people that have that connection, these were like comics in the 70s.
Right.
There's nobody really doing that today. Like, sure, I would love to know Whitney Cummings and...
I think people are afraid of plagiarism.
Well, that and everyone's a comic. Well, now. If you go on Twitter, you say a couple of jokes, you get some followers, you think, oh, I'm a comedian, I'm going to go do stand-up.
Well,
now.
Okay, case in point, like, look, we sit in here and we joke around and you're like, man, that's really funny and I agree. And it's like, I could write it down and somehow, whether way you present it, if I present it in stand-up comedy, I mean, that's a shared idea with us, right?
Yeah.
And if I take, it's almost like I would have to ask permission, like, hey, you mind if what we were just talking about?
There was some of that stuff they talked about in the documentary.
Yeah, like Carlos Mencia.
Well, not just that, but like Chris Rock was talking about how he hired writers and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of the younger comics were talking about how, you know, an older established comedian would, you know, pay him $500 or something to come and sit around and write jokes for a night.
Okay.
Like, I think Tracy Morgan has a lot of joke writers. I could be mistaken, but I think there's a lot of famous comedians I would have joke writers because I can't write jokes.
There's plenty of times where you look at a stand-up comic special and you see the credits and it's like, oh.
Written by five people.
Yeah.
But I think what I'm referring to is this camaraderie with the guys in the 70s because they were doing something relatively... There's comedy's been around forever, but doing stand-up comedy as a main act was totally unheard of. At that time, it was kind of an intermediate thing.
Right.
They built like this bond. And I'm talking like, you know, Jay Leno and Letterman era, that whole time. Yeah. And Fred, what's his name? Kinison.
Yeah.
And so that's that long. I look at it. I'm like, man, that would have been really cool to have something like that. But then you go to current day. There's a lot of great people. It's still there, but it's not like it used to be, though.
Like because every freaking comic has a podcast now. And if you ever just look at the list of guests, it's all the same comedians that are on every single one.
Yeah, but
they just rotate within their friends.
And it's also totally different to be a comedian now. Like, you can go to open mic and stuff. Before, you had to know people, you had to get up, you had to wait in line. You know what I mean? It's a totally different era now. So what I'm saying, Clark, is you're going to fail miserably.
I know I'm going to fail miserably.
But that's the point. Like, every one of them talks about the first 10 years eating the whole time.
Because they couldn't afford anything else. I realized, though, during that time, I hadn't seen Jay Leno in a while. I know he's still around, but I can do a fairly good Jay Leno impression.
Well, let's hear it.
What happens is I always get the impression after they're no longer relevant.
Jay Leno's relevant.
Today? Most of the time, I did it for a game show.
He's got that comedian cars and crap.
That's Jerry.
Yeah, that's Jerry.
Well, he does something with
cars.
That's
a totally different guy.
He does have a show, though, with cars.
They both have shows. In fact, I'm pretty sure Seinfeld has been on the Leno car show.
Yeah, I'm sure. And Jay Leno's been on Jerry.
Yeah.
But with Jay Leno, it's a lot of people that do the impression, you know, they do the high voice, this one, you know, that kind of thing. I try to make it more realistic. And, you know, Jay talks more like this. Did you guys hear about this? Here's the thing. You know, so it's kind of, you kind of merge those two. I do a pretty decent one if I warm up to it. Like, I could be a good Jay Leno voiceover guy. Like, if there's too much noise and they and Jay's busy and they have to do an overdub on you know, him saying, "Oh, look at this car. This is a great car." You know, something like that. I could go in and do that. That's a pretty good impression, I thought.
See, that's funny, like you're talking about impressions and for someone that you got to mimic, like that shows personality. And if I ask you to do like, "Hey, do an impression of Jimmy Fallon or do an impression of Stephen Colbert."
Mm-hmm.
Or do an impression of James, whatever his name is, that's on the Late Late Show. They're not impressionable people.
Yeah,
and I think that's what.
Well, Jimmy,
about
I think Fallon
night.
Is, but Fallon, yeah, Fallon, there's not that personality anymore. Yeah. Like Jay Leno, the letter, you know, Johnny Carson, you don't have those personalities. That's another thing I noticed as you kind of make your way through that Comedy Store documentary. At the end, you realize. There's not a whole lot of there's great comics. I think Dave Chappelle is the greatest comedian of this generation, but you don't really have the comics like prior. You don't have the comics like originality is kind of gone.
I mean, this is going to be a much more broader put it in
Jeff
in broader,
Foxworthy isn't that great, Clark.
No, in much broader terms is look at the state of comedy.
Yeah,
I could even say where you say stand-up comics aren't the same. What about just comedic movies in general? When was the last good comedy that came out?
Bad Boys 3.
No, but I mean, somebody's gonna say like Step Brothers or Old School, and you know, we're talking about movies that are
now
maybe
10 years old.
Maybe
yeah,
the first,
yeah.
Maybe the first Hangover. And I mean, we're talking like, you know, it was an event to go and see it, and you would actually talk about like, "Oh, hey, did you see this?" And I mean, comedies are now are just kind of very complacent.
Yeah. No, you're right.
It's just
kind of
there. It's just kind of there, and that's it. And I mean, I think honestly, movies. There's way too many. Is that that's
not this year?
Well, not this year.
We had five releases.
But the market is saturated, and I mean, just look at animated movies.
Yeah,
computer animated movies. Jesus Christ, there's one every damn month.
Right.
Well, there's so many platforms. I would hate to have
fill it out.
Yeah. I would like there used to be the animated movie and then the Pixar movie. There is the Disney animated movie, then the Pixar movie, and then that's what you got. And now DreamWorks puts out like three troll movies a year.
Yeah,
and all they are it's trolls set to music or it's penguins set to music, and that's kind of like the same thing with comedy, is that they're just such cookie cutter, and then they do remakes. Like there was an Overboard remake. Do you remember it? No, I think it had Amy Schumer in it.
What's Overboard?
The Goldie Hawn, Kurt Russell movie that was in the 80s.
Oh, was that Tina Fey and Amy Poehler?
No.
Oh.
Either way, that was an obscure.
Oh, you know it was a good kind of comedy? That movie that was like Clue, but with Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston. Did you see that one, Eric?
No.
That was on Netflix?
Yeah. A Mystery Date or something like that.
Okay, I vaguely remember it coming around, but
it was a pretty good comedy.
But I mean, the thing is, like, it's not.
But it's not. Yeah, it's not cultural impacting.
And that's the same way with
stand up.
Yeah, because nobody's putting something out. Maybe Dave Chappelle is the only one.
He's the only one I think that can make ripples in society.
Well, nobody is putting something out where it's like, "Oh man, have you seen Eddie Murphy Raw?"
Right.
And people were saying, like, in the year 2000, when I hadn't seen Eddie Murphy Raw. So 14 years later, they were like, "You got to see Eddie Murphy Raw." And then when you see Eddie Murphy Raw, you're kind of like, "Well, damn." Because that was kind of like seeing Jordan play in his third year as a Bull.
Right.
And you're starting to see some greatness.
You know, watching that whole documentary, I was, you know, they had clips of different people's jokes.
Yeah, that was really cool when they would be like, "Oh, man, you know, it kind of went like this. I couldn't remember it."
And then it would actually play the tape.
Yeah, they would play the tape.
There was
awesome.
Only actually a few people that made me laugh, though.
Yeah.
Like, for whatever reason, I don't, and this may be blasphemy, but I don't necessarily find like Richard Pryor to me that funny, because my first, it was kind of Richard Pryor, Bill Cosby, right?
Right.
At the same time.
Yeah.
So when I started getting into comedy, for me, it was all clean stuff. So it was Bill Cosby. And then when I heard Richard Pryor.
I think it has to be for a child.
Yeah. And then but later on, as I got older, I said, "Well, maybe I'm missing something. Let me go back and listen to Richard Pryor." And I don't really find it that funny. It just doesn't resonate with me. Maybe because I grew up on the other side of the tracks, as
they say. You also have to think, like, with his comedy, I mean, before him, and take out the activist elements of his of what his comedy was, to talk blue like that.
Yeah.
That's what they call it, the blue laws. And there was Lenny Bruce in the 60s.
Yeah.
And so it's something that you have to overcome because, I mean, I would say probably in 1974, 75, the two best or the best stand-up comic might have been Steve Martin at that time.
Yeah.
In terms of just popularity. But
Andy Griffith was out there doing it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know what, though?
He's there was dirt,
Woody
too.
Woody he Allen.
Was. Andy Griffith was like the Bob Saget.
Right. Yeah.
Like he would be America's dad on the Andy Griffith Show, and then he would go out and talk. And he did some movie that he was basically Howard Stern before Howard Stern. He was like a radio host doing. Yeah, I saw it on TV randomly. I don't remember what it was, but it was like American Radio or something like that. And he was basically like a dirty talk show host. But Andy Griffith was very dirty. He started out doing clean stuff like Bill Cosby telling stories. When I was a football player and blah, blah, blah. But then he went out. He's basically Bob Saget. Of that era. But I'll tell you who made me laugh. One of the older comedians that made me laugh watching these jokes. Michael Keaton.
Yeah. Oh, dude, he was hilarious.
Michael Keaton's bazooka joke
that was great.
Awesome.
Okay. Now I got to go see it.
Yeah. Well, of course you're the one that's going to do stand up.
I had no idea he even done stand up.
I didn't either. And then they played some of his clips. I'm like, he's really good.
Great.
Did they ever, did they ever show like Bill Maher in the early 80s?
No.
No, it was, they kind of focused on a set like 10, 20 comedians.
Yeah, and then tried to make you cry at the end of every episode.
Like, get it, people die.
I can't do that. Like,
no, the whole thing could have been a 2-hour and 30-minute movie.
It really could have.
It felt like they made it
for
those comics that were in it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the song again?
Showtime.
Yeah.
Just do what I do and sign up for a free trial.
And then now watch it.
No, just you can cancel it right away, and your thing lasts.
I think I can pull it up on the satellite at home.
You have Showtime at home?
Yeah.
I was actually just really excited to see Pauly Shore when I saw his name in the credits. I was like, Pauly Shore, where has he been?
Well, he's got a podcast.
Well,
himself.
Didn't one of his parents run the Comedy Store?
His mom,
yeah, his mom,
yeah,
yeah.
See, I knew that.
I didn't know that until I saw this documentary or docuseries. But he has a movie coming out too.
Yeah.
So anyway, that wraps it up. We didn't get to anything on the schedule, but I still think it was a decent show. Like, literally, we had like a list this long.
No, the Comedy Store was on there. We got to one.
That's true. And it really is good. If you're really interested in stand-up comedy, watch the Comedy Store. It does, but it pulled certain things out of me that I'm like, maybe I should start to dabble in stand-up. And I'm like, no.
All three of y'all don't need to do a three-man stand-up show.
Together.
Yeah.
We'll call it the COVID crew.
I did finally I watched a Lucas Brothers stand-up
special. Oh, Lucas Brothers are great.
They are fantastic.
Yeah. They're the best, like, duo stand-up. Well, they're twins, but they're the best, like, duo stand-up comedy people I've ever seen. They do a great job because they kind of finish each other's jokes. Like, one guy will set it up and the other one will.
All right.
We need to get them on the show. They're really funny. But I think you should watch it, Clay. I really brought all this up so that we can talk to you about this. I thought you would, being the one that's going to go up and do stand up. I thought you would already be on top of this, but you didn't know anything about it. But you should. You should definitely watch it. And you said you have been writing comedy.
Yeah.
Right?
I've been writing a little bit.
Do you like Jerry Seinfeld? You just wake up every day and you give yourself an hour to sit there and write jokes?
No, I come up with something and I try to expand on it.
Yeah. You're writing it down, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what we need to do is probably before the end of the year, we don't have many shows left, but before the end of the year, maybe get another comedian in here. Maybe we'll get Paul. I'll see what Paul's doing.
Yeah, I haven't seen that dude in forever, since Vickery.
Let him do one more little advice thing for you.
Yeah.
So now you have Paul, you have Emily.
Right.
And then when we come back next year, we'll put you up on stage somewhere.
Yeah. Let's focus for next year.
Well, it's going to be like right as soon as the new year starts.
That's what I'm saying.
Like January 2021.
That sounds feasable.
And then we'll see
January
you
January 21st.
January 1st. I'm just
kidding. Give me the day after Trump's inaugurated. Or no, inaugurated.
Excuse me?
Biden, sorry.
See, he's one of those Trump guys. He can't wrap his head around. It's really crazy. Twilight Zone.
You know what they're saying. He's going to protect.
We
were going to go to the show without talking about this. I made up that date.
I made a mental note to myself not to really get into politics, I'm going to say two things and I'm out.
Clark has to ruin it.
I know. Well, I got to say this for the Trump supporters and Clark. It's like I was talking to a couple this week, and it really is like they're in some sort of Twilight Zone trance where they can't comprehend that more people want Biden. And they're like, I just don't understand Like it, the only feasible explanation for this is fraud. That's it. They don't understand why they know why New York's blue. They know why California's blue, but they don't know why the whole map all of a sudden is, you know, blue. It's because that's what people want. And I was talking to somebody and they said, well, they can't possibly think that Biden is better than Trump. I said, I don't even know if it's a fact that people think that Biden is better. Let's be honest. Biden's got one foot in the grave, but I said, it's the fact that people are just tired of Trump. That's how mm-hmm. tired of Trump they are, that they're willing to get this guy who's half dead.
Yeah.
Elected president because they just want this guy out of there. We did it. We had an experiment. We said, hey, let's let this reality show guy get in there. See what he's not a politician before right. he was president. Let's get him in there. Let's see what happens. We got 4 years of it. We didn't like it. Let's go right. back to what worked. Let's go back to the normally scheduled program.
And that's how it works.
Now, that's what I say for the Biden people or the Trump people. Wake up from this little trance. And now for the Biden people, and I'm just talking about the people that were all on social media this weekend crying, not because of the VP, this is strictly Biden, that think Biden's going to come in and change everything. The right. man, I'm going to be honest with you, nothing's going to change,
mm-hmm.
right? The man is going to save everything in a day or even 4 years.
Right.
He can barely form a full sentence and you expect him to be able to clean up the whole country. Oh, we're going to take care of coronavirus. We're going to do this. Gonna, right. It's not going to happen. If your life sucks today, it's going to suck 4 years from now. The only person that can affect your life is you.
Amen.
Quit waiting on these old, rich white men to yes. save you because it's not going to happen.
I totally agree.
The people in the middle I'm not talking to. I'm talking to the two people on the extremes, the Trumps and the Biden army.
Right.
Like, calm down.
Yeah.
Not the end of the world. Everything's going to be fine. This country's been around for 250 years or whatever. 200, how many years? Does anybody know?
200.
How many years?
240 years?
245, something like that.
We're not at 50 yet, right?
244.
244. We've been around for 244 years, and nothing bad has ever happened.
Yeah. MZ for 2025.
That's right. Patriot Pete, 2025.
You're good on that Kanye ticket.
I am. I'm going to be his running mate. You know, it's Kanye. Oh, man, I turned off the whole thing. That would have been great. Could do some auto-tune. All right. Next week, I'm very excited. Alan Alda is going to be on the show. So you don't want to miss that. We'll see you then.
This is MZ Now, online at mznow.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MZNow.